You're listening to Radio National on the ABC, but now we're shifting our focus to another public broadcaster, the BBC World Service, because the prestigious BBC World Service International Audio Drama Competition was recently won by Australian playwright Finnegan Crookemeyer for a piece called Here on a High Hill. Finnegan's had 105 plays commissioned and performed on 6 continents over the years, translated into 8 languages as well. And the many awards he's picked up along the way include the David Williamson Award and a Lifetime Achievement Award for services to international theatre for young audiences. And I'm very pleased to say that Finnegan joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome and congratulations.
Thanks so much. How are you going?
Very well, very well. Tell us about Here on a High Hill, Finnegan.
Okay. A few years ago, I had a chat. I was talking with a mate in Ireland about potential commissions. And that was one idea that I kind of floated with him, but he wanted a different age group. So I had a rudimentary idea of what it was, but then I put it in a drawer and forgot about it for a long time. And then this competition came up through the BBC, and I don't know what inspired me, but I thought I'd pull it back out and I thought I'd kind of write it properly into being. And I don't really have much of a sense of what an audio drama is. My history is writing for the stage and that very kind of tangible seeing a play come to life in front of you. So I thought maybe this is a time to do a fun experiment of trying to write for a new form. I sent it in and this amazing thing has come to be.
That's fantastic. And what were the challenges of writing for radio drama compared to, as you say, your well-honed craft of writing for the stage?
Thanks for the honey bit. That's nice. I think I just, you kind of form a shorthand after enough time of doing anything. And I think I have become so familiar with that sense of what it is to hand words in a simple form, a two-dimensional form, to humans existing in a space and watch the way that they interact and they then fill a stage. And suddenly we get this palpable sense sitting in a theatre audience of a work coming to life because of these interactions happening in front of you, the way that a line is delivered to another person and the impact of that. This is, yeah, it's a, you're stripping away these sense elements and you're really inviting the line to exist purely as an oral thing, as a thing heard, and hope that through a beautiful actor's craft, they can kind of conjure enough of a picture in your mind that you then end up doing so much of the work and kind of manifesting a visual version of it in your head.
So Finnegan, what is the story and the setting of Here on a High Hill?
So the titular hill exists somewhere in the south of Ireland, which is where I was born and grew up. I left when I was 8 years old and came here to Adelaide. And it's an invented hilltop upon which there sits a cemetery. And in the cemetery, there sit 4 teenagers who've gone there for very different reasons. So one is an amateur thief who is kind of hiding all her stolen bits and bobs in the cemetery so no one finds them. One is a visual artist who likes the way that the light falls on that space, and so she's taken to drawing up there. One is a young man who tends his mum's grave and lays shirt in homage to her. And one is a boy who's really angry with the world. His house fell down. His whole life feels discombobulated and he just wants to be somewhere he can vent. And inadvertently, they all end up there at the same time. And it's just about whatever the friction is of 4 adolescents existing in the same space, which just happens to be a cemetery.
As I mentioned, you've received a Lifetime Achievement Award for services to international theatre for young audiences. And by the sounds of the outline, the cast of Here on a High Hill is a group of young people. Mm-hmm. Did you intend the work as a work for young people?
I felt this affinity with the 4 characters I'd invented, and it was definitely their story to tell. So it became a work about teenagers or delivered to us by teenagers. But in terms of an audience allegiance, no, I don't really feel it. I felt like it was whoever needed to hear it. And so often that conversation or that direction of conversation is missed to have adults privy to the wisdom of younger people, not to suggest that I am wise in the writing of it, but just that character type, you know, the notion of an archetype of a teenager espousing their take on the world, that has as much right to be heard as an adult telling us a truth from that end of a life.
And Finnegan, in the writing, have you written to the accent, which obviously you would know from your childhood?
Yeah, I have. I did this thing of kind of imagining what that lyrical, lilting take on a line would be. And then the BBC, with its amazing resources and its amazing kind of stringency and attention to detail, they cast three amazing actors who are from West Cork in Ireland, who they brought across, and then one actor who's Syrian, British Syrian. So that's the character Farouk, who's tending to his mother's grave. That's his history. And so they really had this kind of diligent application of, these are the voices we need. We'll find them wherever they might be.
And that's one of the great things about the award, is not only going to the prize ceremony, but actually the play will now be recorded and broadcast by the BBC, and you got to see a part of the making of that. What was that like for you, Finnegan, and how does it compare to sitting in a theatre watching your work come to life?
Yeah, it was magical. It was sitting in a sound booth and working with the engineers, the director and the producer on one side of the glass, and then on the other side were the actors who were kind of bringing it to life in that way, and kind of conferring with the team. So I would, if there were notes or observations I had, I'd do as I do in a rehearsal room for stage, and I'd quietly whisper them to the director and choose what John, the amazing director there, then passed on to the team, because it really does feel like it should be a director in an ensemble space at that point. I think the writer, I try to hang back as much as I can. Like, I've had all that time to try to invoke or allude to everything that I needed as I wrote the piece. Once I hand it over, I think there needs to be that permission. And yeah, an ensemble makes it their own.
And I see that the legendary British actress Fiona Shaw was there at the presentation of the award. That must have been a bit of a thrill.
It was wild. I had no idea. They told me on the morning of. They kept a surprise, kept the powder dry. And she's wonderful. She was so generous. She chose to read the winning works, which, you know, she could have just turned up and just presented a lovely award to me, and I would have been so happy with that. But no, she really made a point of reading through it. And then, because she grew up in a similar part of Ireland to where I did, we talked about where the hill might have been, and we had a lovely chat. She was so nice, so effusive. She read this beautiful poetry in her introduction. She was just really cool.
And the award category that you won is English as a First Language, but there was also the prize for English as a Second Language category, which was won by a Nigerian playwright. Did you have a chance to meet the other winners?
Yeah, so Idi had come across from Nigeria. He was excellent, and we spent a couple of days riding the tube around London and chatting and kind of sharing about the ideas behind work and hearing the words that he spoke at the ceremony upon receiving his award. It was very moving, very inspiring. I really liked what he said, and I like the artist he is and the man he is.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I can only imagine that there would be some similarities between the theatre scene in Nigeria and Australia or Ireland, but also some striking differences as well. Was that something you got to explore in your discussions with Idi?
Not really with that cultural specificity, but just talking about where practice aligns or differs. He has a long history in working in radio and kind of manifesting works in this way, whereas it's very new to me and I feel very green. So it was a nice conversation given, yeah, the time that he's spent in this form. And I was talking with some mates at the BBC, and they were saying that a large part of the listenership actually is Nigeria. Like, Nigeria, India and the States, I think, are the three biggest audiences, because they have huge English speaking populations and people who will turn to the radio as a source of entertainment in a way that maybe isn't as established in terms of radio play form in other countries like this one.
That is fascinating. And yeah, I mean, audio drama is a very specific format that many people may not be that familiar with. Have you listened to much radio drama in your time, Finnegan?
No, historically, really not. So it's such a lovely new introduction for me. And what I really came to enjoy upon looking at the form and meeting the people in the room who make that form all the time is this lovely egalitarian sense of art making that comes with it, because it is an art form that comes to you. It finds you in your home. It doesn't demand that you get a babysitter and head out in a car and find yourself in a theater. It will be cool with whatever you're doing. If you're doing the washing up or you're putting the kids to bed or you're driving a long way to get to work. And I love that. I love the sense that a story is kind of packaged and presented to you with all this beautiful artistry, all these amazing people who work so hard at the form, and then they will ask you to meet it wherever you need to.
And so clearly, Here on a High Hill has now been recorded. What's the production timeline, and when do you think people will be able to hear it on the radio, Finnegan?
So in October, it comes to be, and it's sent out into the world. And John, the director, told me that, ridiculously, it melts my brain, but about 1 million people will listen to it. That's kind of the listenership of this form, which is just mind-blowing. So I love everything they did in the room. I love the love that it's been given by these people, and I hope that all the listeners, yeah, enjoy whatever turns up at their door.
Yeah, well, we're very much looking forward to being able to hear Here on a High Hill. Having had this success in the new form of audio drama, Finnegan, are you tempted to convert the work into something that you'd stage as well?
Yes, but also reciprocally, I've been thinking back through some of my theatre pieces that have lived lovely lives on stage. I'm really happy with seeing them in that way, but now going, oh, okay, if I were to change the form and I were to kind of, yeah, just prepare them for this other medium, whether they might live again on radio. So yeah, both chats are having in my head at the same time, and both excite me. That notion of a story being a story wherever it lands or whatever shape it takes, I quite like that.
2027 BBC World Service International Audio Drama Competition, here we come. Well, it's fantastic news, and it's been great to speak with you. And as I say, we're very much looking forward to being able to hear Here on a High Hill before the end of the year, by the sounds of things. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra today.
No worries. Thanks for chatting.
And we're speaking there with Finnegan Krukemeyer, winner of the 2026 BBC World Service International Audio Drama Competition.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.